reliving your child's, you know, birthday party, which you weren't present for in the first place because you had this mask on, but now you're reliving it. And while you're reliving it, you know, a notification pops up in front of you saying that you can buy birthday candles for your next party. You know what I mean?
Like, that birthday cake doesn't look good. Here's a new bakery.
It whispers into your ear. Hey, no one liked that birthday cake based on the sentiment analysis we just did. Next year, please click this button here to buy a better birthday cake. You're like, wait, no. I just wanted to see my kid smile. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 9 of the Ad Talk by Ad Class podcast. I am your co-host, Dakota, and I'm here with...
Caleb Cruz. What's going on, guys? Excited about this episode. We are talking about the latest in AR/VR with Apple Vision Pro and what that means for the world of marketing. It's going to be really cool.
Lots to talk about today. We're obviously joined by Matthew as well. What's up, Matthew?
What's up, guys? Good to see you through my eyes and not through a pair of goggles.
You're seeing me through a screen, though, still.
That's true.
So, I think one of the topics that we're going to have to dive into today is, like, which screen is an okay screen? Are there good screens and bad screens?
And how much screen is okay?
And how much screen is good and how much is bad? And you know what's funny? The other day, we were back visiting my in-laws and the family back in Illinois. And I found this really funny because I'm sure everybody has had an experience like this before. But you're kind of like watching TV together or a movie together, right? You're all sitting like in the living room, watching a screen, and on that screen is the thing that you're all supposed to be watching, right? But at any given time, you might pick up your phone and you might like look at the phone, right? Or maybe you're watching something that you're not really that into and only one person in the room is into it, so you're like on your phone and you're kind of like doing the scrolling thing, right? You're scrolling and you know it's entertaining you, whatever. Well, if there's like the majority of the people in the room on their phone looking at what I call their small screen, then somebody inevitably who's not looking at their phone pulls this like guilt trip card and says, oh, I guess we're all just looking at our phones now, you know, like something like that. And it's, and my response is always, are these screens like not, they're both screens, right? Am I supposed to look at the big screen only, or can I look at my little screen too?
But I think the reason for that is because like when you're watching the big screen, you want to feel like the other people around you are included in the same activity that you are. Whereas when you see someone looking at their phone, it's a signal of like whatever's on the big screen doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not good enough for you.
It's not good enough. Yeah, I'm not entertained.
You're just going to look at your little screen.
It's a communal experience, even if it's Vanderpump Rules, you know.
I get it. I get the argument, but for me, it's like, it's always hypocritical as well, because there's obviously going to be moments where that person is looking at their little screen, you know, but it's just that moment of like, oh, they just had the realization that we're all just like four humans sitting in a room looking at screens, and they like had to bring it up. So anyways, when we talk about the metaverse and we talk about all these devices that we're about to be delving into, how much more is it like, dude, you're just off on your own over there with a thing on your head. We're over here talking, you know what I mean? We're watching something together. Like it's good. This is a piece of the social dynamic that I feel like we already see with our phones, but it's become normalized with the phone for the most part. Now we're going to have to start going through this whole other process of normalizing screens in a way that's like, what is normal, right?
Yeah. And so I remember watching the Vision Pro, like, you know, the hype reel, the like an intro, you know, announcement video. And there's a section of that video where they're like talking about how it has a camera on it and you can like, you know, take videos of like special moments in your life and then relive them later.
It's got like a bajillion cameras. Yeah.
It's got a ton. Yeah. this just goes back to what you just said is like, you know, how disconnected are you going to be from like the rest of humanity when you've got this thing on your head? Because it's like they're trying to sell it on like, you can just relive that special moment with your kids. And it's like, it shows the dad like recording his two daughters. And I'm like watching that. I'm like, how like terrible of a memory is that for the two kids? Like, sure, you can capture it in HD 3D and you can rewatch it, right? But guess what your kids are going to remember? Your dad with like a giant
dad with a mask on his head
living in some other it's just weird, man. It's
well, so okay, let's back up a little bit, because for the viewer and the listener at home, right, what are we talking about? We're talking about Apple. I feel like we have to emphasize that. Apple, the device king, right? The hardware king of the last 15, 20 plus years, released a teaser video for their new product, which is called Apple Vision Pro, which is going to be an AR/VR, so augmented reality / virtual reality headset. And if you look up the videos and like the pictures of it, you're going to see a lot of insane use cases. And a lot of people are extremely excited about this. A lot of people are like, okay, whatever, I'm still not going to get something like that. But regardless, Apple stepping into the arena here is newsworthy, right? Because it's Apple. There's been very few times where Apple has jumped into like the device world and not succeeded in a big way. I don't know. Okay, if you can think of any, Caleb, like I'm trying to think back. I mean, obviously the iPod, every iteration of the iPod crushed it. There was a few misses in there, like the iPod Shuffle, which I still had one. But like, you know, there's a reason why that got discontinued. Like you just couldn't, like that was back in the days of like no one listened to albums. Like you would go on and buy like MP3s from iTunes, like of whatever one song that you wanted.
Every song was like a dollar.
And so you would just shuffle your, it would go from like Party Rock Anthem to like Take Me Home Country Roads, you know, and you're like, I guess I'm just going with it. Or you would have to memorize the order of your entire like library, and you'd skip okay, I got 16 presses from Take Me Home Country Roads, Green Day's American Idiot. That's terrible. But anyways, so that was a miss. But for the most part, like, can you guys think of a device where Apple has missed?
I mean, like, the one that comes to mind for me was the HomePod, where they tried to like break into the Sonos like market share. I mean, it was still an incredible piece of tech. I have friends that still
use those, though.
It was just maybe a little more niche.
I never bought one of those or used it, and I honestly don't know anyone. Like Dakota, obviously you do, but I don't think I know anyone that uses that right now.
It was overpriced for what it did. I think like there's been design fails through the years. Like you think of the mouse, you know, the Apple mouse that you have to plug in the bottom of it to charge it, so you can't even like use the mouse.
That was so stupid.
But for the most part, I mean, their devices are good. So by them stepping into this arena, they're making a statement, and I think there's a lot to talk about there. So that's one piece. The next piece, though, is that it is $3,499, comes out next year, and it's a pretty penny, right? Yeah. And so, but by making it that price, they're also making another statement, right? Because you can compare it to Zuckerberg's Meta Quest, which I have one because I'm a nerd and I wanted to get one, and it's $349, maybe somewhere around that range. So we're talking about a $3,000 difference here. You know,
it's crazy.
Lots to talk about, but yeah, Caleb, what were your first impressions of sort of, did you watch the video?
I did. I guess, like initial thoughts are, I think that they took a different approach than I think like Mark Zuckerberg did with the whole metaverse and the Quest thing. And I think that's noticeable from the start, because when you watch the demo video of the Apple Vision Pro, it's very much focused on kind of like almost like an at-home like theater type experience. That was like the vast majority of the video. Now they talk about like the tech, they talk about being able to do FaceTime and like the workplace stuff too, but at least for me, I felt like the focus of the video was like, you can have a world-class, you know, theater right in front of you, you can tune out the rest of the world and like watch your favorite movies on the biggest screen that you can imagine type thing, right? And for me, I think that's honestly really smart selling point, because if you think back to like when like big flat screen TVs came out, they were ridiculously expensive. Like you can get a really like sick flat screen TV now for like maybe like $300, like $400, $500. Mm-hmm. Whereas they used to be like $2,000, $2,500, yeah. $3,000. And I think this is a piece of like that coming back, right? It's a new way to watch your favorite entertainment. They're and so much more, right? And so I think that's kind of where the price point comes from. They're taking that home theater type approach. But
I like that take. I like that take. I disagree though.
Okay.
Because so I do think that the home theater piece is big, right? And they chatted on like the capability of the thing. It's got like the Apple chip in it. It's basically a computer that you wear. So it's going to be able to play crazy games if you want to, you know, like 4K display in each eye. So it's like the best quality that, right, that you're going to be able to get. I agree with all of that, but I feel like the way that they priced it and some of the stuff in the demo that they showed, I think they're going after professionals first. I think they're going after the workplace first, get buy-in at the workplace at the level where companies have the money to spend on this thing, right? Where there's going to be test phases of like softwares that people, you know, like imagine editing a video with this thing, right? I know like Ryan on our team was super excited about that possibility because all of a sudden you're not on your 13-inch, you know, MacBook at the coffee shop. Now you can just look up from that 13-inch and have a, you know, what feels like a 100-inch display right in front of you, and you're just literally boom, 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 speed editing this thing because it has a super fast computer built into it. Right. So I feel like that is more so what the first step, because if you get the buy-in of companies and creatives first, I feel like then it can really become, they can basically make a cheaper version of this for the at-home user that wants just the home theater experience. I'm telling you, I would buy this thing today if they said, hey, we're going to have courtside NBA games on this. You know, we can sit courtside and just watch the game, right? Just like this.
Yes.
I would buy it today.
Yeah. Which I mean, I feel like is like definitely going to happen. You know what I mean? Like it has to happen. And to my defense, I feel like that leads into the home theater type.
It does. No. That's what I'm saying is, but I don't know if I'm going to, like, who else is going to spend $3,500 to watch movies at home by themselves on a screen? Because
exactly, and it's not like a family type experience either, right? As if you notice, like in the demo, it's always like a person by themselves that's experiencing it. And if you think about like a person by themselves that's going to spend $3,500, that's kind of the business demographic that you're talking about, anyways, right? So you're kind of killing two birds with one stone.
That's why I think this first iteration is business, but that doesn't mean that 5 years from now, I mean, think of the first iPhone, right? Looks absolutely nothing. I mean, it looks somewhat like what we have now, but very different from what we have now.
Yeah.
The first iPad, right? The first MacBook, the first Mac, right? 20 years from now, the conversation we're currently having is going to be like, well, yeah, everybody has these. They're $200 and you put them on your contacts. You know what I mean? It's going to be, you know, so it's totally different. But I do think like this, I think it's smart of them because they're basically saying, yo, like, you guys can have your Zuckerberg metaverse that looks like cartoon characters and, you know, all that. We've got the professionals.
Right. You know? Yeah. That's so true. Is like Mark went after the like gaming, like social, like online nerd type community. And I feel like Apple's going for, just like professionals, people who've got money and that want like a really great experience.
The obvious question for us becomes, how does this affect advertising, right? And not only like advertising as it is right now, but like what are the potential future sort of ramifications of ads in? And I think we've been thinking of this in terms of like the metaverse. And I think this whole device, everything that just happened from Apple coming out with the Vision Pro, is them saying like, it's not the metaverse, guys. Like they're basically saying like, hey, Meta, we know you changed your entire company name and you're trying to like make the metaverse a thing, but we're about to absolutely destroy you. And we're going to actually make this thing like real life. Like that's what they're trying to do, in my opinion. Like, like the stereotype of the metaverse at this point is like, whether it's from boomers or not, is like, oh, kids just want to go be alone, you know, in their room. And I think what they were trying to do with Vision Pro is like, hey, you could just twist this dial and actually you can see everything around you still. And we actually have it so that you can they can see you because we're going to scan you with all these cameras and project your face on the outside. So you're basically there with everybody. You're not alone. You know, you're with everybody. You know, they're really trying to like make it real life feeling. And so when we talk of this in terms of advertising, it's not quite like the metaverse as we pictured it at one time, even though this has all that capability. I feel like it's more so like augmented reality that we have to kind of think through, because I think that's much more approachable for most people, is augmented reality. You mentioned the birthday party scene from the video. And if you guys haven't seen the actual video, like, this is the one miss. They didn't miss a lot in the video, I don't think. Like, everything was like, oh, dang, that's cool. Wait, it can do that. Oh, that's cool. And then this happens. And it's like, I feel like the world collectively was like, are you so out of touch that you think a man would wear this thing on their head while their kids are like blowing out birthday candles at their birthday party? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was texting my friend about this. You know, we just chat about nerdy stuff all day. And I was thinking, like, there is a use case where they don't have the tech yet for this, or at least Apple doesn't make the tech. I'm sure companies do, but this is the use case where that actually could work really well. Think about like a wedding, right? Any bougie event that you have, you're already paying for photos, videos. You're already $10,000 probably on average between the two of the, you know, you're paying all of that stuff to get that day captured. Now what if instead the videographer goes, well, you know, I could stand here with the camera and videotape your whole thing, but actually, you know, so-and-so company just came out with this process where I can put 10 cameras in various places of your ceremony and reception, point them in this specific way. So it's like got a mesh map of the whole place. And then later on, we'll turn that into a headset file for your Vision Pro so that you can actually walk around your wedding and see what everyone was doing while you were, you know, cutting the cake, as an example.
Yeah, that's, you know, actually a really cool use case. Yeah.
That, I think, is where we're heading, because obviously no one's going to wear the thing during the wedding. Like, you know, imagine.
Unless
they're wearing the headset.
Unless it's actually the videographer and you're just like, everyone just ignore the videographer. He's going to walk around.
He's just going to walk around all day with this thing on.
He just got back from scuba diving.
But if you had like the camera tech outside of that and you're capturing everything, then theoretically you can wear the thing later and walk around and see what everyone was doing and like have like this sort of like experience, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
So I think the thing that like gets caught up for me, and I'm a different kind of nerd to Dakota, I guess, because I'm just more into 10 minute from now sci-fi. So I mentioned, like, you know, Ex Machina on a previous episode on AI. When I saw this video release, the first thing, I'm not sure if you guys have watched this, but the first thing that came to my mind was Black Mirror, which is a Netflix series, which basically like works in this 10 minutes from now, realistic sci-fi, like plausible stuff.
Yeah.
And there's like an episode in the first series, episode 3, where you have a brain chip implanted and you have access to every single memory and whether that's a good thing or not. And like,
right, or like the social reputation one, right, where you're like rated based on that, like your interactions with others, and then like your status is based on that. That's a really good point, Matthew, because let's go back to my wedding example. Let's say you recorded the whole thing, right? And you have like, let's just say that in some version of this tech you're able to like literally re-experience your wedding day walking around it from the third person, right? It's like Harry Potter style. You go back into the what do they call the memory? The
Ponsive.
Yeah. They go back into the, you can relive the memory, basically, is the whole thing, right? And it can, and it doesn't even have to be his memories. Okay. But let's say it's your wedding and you're like, honey, let's sit down and watch our wedding video again tonight, right? And experience it from what it was like to sit in the front row. And they're sitting there and then they're hearing your mother-in-law say like, I can't believe she wore that. Can you believe blah, blah? You know what I mean? Like, now all of a sudden your experience of your own wedding is tainted because you are hearing things that you shouldn't have been hearing at your own wedding, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But to your point, Matthew, it's like, what memories should we be reliving? Shouldn't we only remember things from our perspective anyways?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right.
And also like being present and like, you know, the father taking the recording of his kids, you know, like he could be just in there playing with them, but instead he's distant, you know, he's, he's observing as if he was already like watching the memory in the first place,
right?
Rather than actually being present and that kind of thing. It's just like opens up a can of worms in terms of like how it actually, because like when I think about like, you know, what Apple has contributed to the world and to society, and you know, you can put Facebook into this, is like, is everything that has come out in the past 20 years, has it been good for us? You know, has you know, the fact that we now have a phone in our left hand at all times a healthy thing? And like is this the next step in terms of our human experience, but also the next downgrade in our relational experience?
Almost has to be.
Yeah. I definitely think it is, for sure.
Yeah. Well, and then we pair advertising on top of this, and it's like, oh, now you're reliving your child's, you know, birthday party, which you weren't present for in the first place because you had this mask on, but now you're reliving it. And while you're reliving it, you know, a notification pops up in front of you saying that you can buy birthday candles for your next party. You know what I mean? Like,
that birthday cake doesn't look good. Here's a new bakery. Five miles
yeah, it speaks, it whispers into your ear. Hey, no one liked that birthday cake based on the sentiment analysis we just did. Next year, please click this button here to buy a better birthday cake. And you're like, wait, no. I just wanted to see my kid smile.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that's the dark side of this, right? That's the dark side. And there are dark sides. Yeah. However, we're always in the spirit of positivity on this podcast. I know Caleb is always an optimist as well. We kind of have to think of the near future bright side as it pertains to how can companies use this to get their message out there to the right people, right? I agree with you on a personal level, Matthew. Like it's detrimental probably in the long run.
I completely agree with that, actually. I don't think I think long term this doesn't do anything good for humans.
Yeah.
The human race, to be honest with
except
you.
I mean, no, there are good. I disagree that it doesn't do anything good. Like if this is able to, you know, like professional use cases are where it's going to be good, right? Like but pilot school, very easy when you don't have to actually crash a plane to learn how to fly a plane.
For sure.
Surgery, yeah. Right? For like sure. How can I like literally if a surgeon like recorded the process of like doing open heart surgery in some new way, and they were able to just blast that into headsets everywhere for surgeons to learn how to like precisely cut this thing because they're actually looking at it and they can actually see it, like stuff like that, it's going to help the world.
Totally
agree. Social media related, yeah, dude,
that's like, yeah, that's what I'm trying to get at, is that I think you're right. If it's used as a tool, right, if it's used as a tool by professionals to like improve their craft or make like training better, things like that, 100% it's gonna make the world a better place. I think where for me I look at the downside of this is for when this isn't $3,500 anymore and it costs $500 and it becomes a regular part of people's households, and then people start like being on this thing 8 hours a day, right? That's the direction that I'm like, I'm not like, you know, I feel like that's not going to be super great for people. It will have pros too, right? Like, sure, you'll probably be able to watch a really incredible movie, experience it like you never could before. But also, like, are you stuck on that thing for 8 hours a day? And like, when you come out of it, like, do you like, what does that do to your like normal experience in the real world, right? Like, that's the thing that's a little bit scary to me, is like, I feel like there's going to become blurred lines, and like, we're still probably far from that, because I don't think Apple's Vision Pro is going to be that good yet, to where you can't tell the difference between, you know. But I think we're, you know, that's the direction that eventually it'll get there. Yeah,
it's close. So, it's close.
But, so one question I had for both of you guys is, obviously, the metaverse, and like, obviously, Zuck changed Facebook to Meta 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago? No, it wasn't that long ago, was it? You know, with the tiger and the buffalo, that weird, like trippy ad that he put out. That's like gone away from like public consciousness, I feel like. So do you feel like with the introduction of the Vision Pro and like this lean more into augmented reality, do you feel like virtual reality is now not going to be something that especially marketers will focus on? And do you think like with the introduction of this tech, they're going to focus more on that augmented?
Yeah, so my vote goes, I think they go augmented first. I think it's also just like lower barrier to entry because the tech is just better in that arena, right? Like we just talked about being able to like put a couch in your living room, right? Like mm-hmm. that right now is already possible like on a normal
computer. Yeah, Amazon has that on their app. Yeah.
Yeah, Amazon has that on their app right now. Throw the like better tech onto it and now you've immediately got like just so much more possibility. So I think that we're going to see that be the focus at first just because it's easier and people can get into it now. I think as VR gets better and it gets towards that direction of it's harder to tell the difference between VR and normal life, then I think everyone's going to go like super hard into marketing there. But that's my two cents.
Yeah, it's far off still. I mean, far off in the internet world, which is like 3 years probably, right? but AR is pretty much here. Like, I mean, shoot, remember Pokemon Go? There's still a lot of people that play Pokemon Go, but that was like
that was the first like real AR that like,
it was
everyone
that everybody did. That everybody yeah, did. Like yeah. it had mass market appeal. Yeah. I mean, it was one summer or whatever where every
2016 baby,
yeah,
incredible.
So like that was the first foray into it. And people finally were like, oh, AR, I get it, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think now, like what's going to be interesting for me is user data as it pertains to advertising in AR, because mm-hmm. Apple is kind of taking two approaches right now, right? On one hand, like during the same press conference that they released the you know teasers for Vision Pro, they also mm-hmm. talked about ad related tracking and how they're going to continue to basically, you know, make privacy a big topic. Mm-hmm. Apple has been doing that proactively. Whether it's to like actually protect privacy of consumers is one thing or the other. It could just be to completely screw over their competition, right? Because they know Google
and Meta, they benefit from it in a big way.
Yeah. They're definitely benefiting from it. Because if you've noticed, Apple ads have never really been a thing, right? Up until this point, it's been primarily, you know, like just ad-free platform. The App Store is really the only place where you get sponsored posts and ads and things. And even then, they're tasteful. It's like, it's not like, you know, they're not shoving anything that you don't want.
You search for an app and then they show you an ad for something that's relevant to your search. Yeah,
exactly. And that's fine. But they've been collecting data this whole time, right? They know everything about us. While whether or not they use it right now is one thing, but they have the data. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, creating a platform like this, right? Like whether it's augmented reality or virtual reality, when people put this Vision Pro on, Apple now has a choice to make of, are we going to monetize this? Because we have all the data. And if so, what sorts of things are they going to look at monetizing? Because in my mind, if you're wearing a headset that has a bajillion cameras on it, Apple now has access to what those cameras are seeing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like whether they say they do or not, whatever, they do, because ultimately it's streaming straight into the cloud so that it can tell you everything that's around you and whatever. Like it's there somewhere. So if they know you're sitting in a living room with, you know, whatever products or books on the bookshelf or whatever it is, right? They can collect that data theoretically. And so are they going to use that to serve relevant ads or not is my question, right? Because that's how ads work, right? That's why people think their phones listen to them. That's why, you know, our browsing history is so like, it's like, wow, I just got an ad for something that I was thinking about buying last night. Like this is just more data that we can feed that if we're not careful. Right. Yeah. For advertisers. So on one hand, it's like could be really good for advertisers because now it's like, hey, do you want to target people who, you know, have a guitar in their living room, you know, with like, you know, a new acoustic guitar, or, you know, it could be obviously.
But I feel like I would be shocked if they end up going that route, because the thing is Apple has always been like you just said, right? They've been very tasteful and they haven't done a lot of advertising on their current like devices. And I feel like them going in that direction of privacy also, if they were to offer a feature like that, right, where it's like, hey, do you want to target people or whatever, that's going to immediately like
I'm not saying they would say it.
You're not saying, okay, yeah, but like in the back end, like there's just some like you basically put up an ad for guitars and then you just hope that Apple is going to kind of just deliver it.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's like Facebook with lookalikes or Meta with lookalikes. It's like, I don't know how they're finding 1% of my people that are most similar to my customers, but you better believe they've got some data, you know? They know something. Oh, yeah. Look, 999 out of 1,000 of these people on this email list have purchased, you know, a guitar in the last, 100 days.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just saying, theoretically, we're giving access. It's just like when we put an Alexa in every room in the house. Now, theoretically, they have access to everything we've said, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've seen cases where the government can subpoena Alexa or Amazon for literally, there was a murder case, wasn't there? Yeah, there was a murder case. Fact check me because this might be sensationalized. But what I remember was the murder.
Dude, I've never heard this. I'm actually like,
like a husband killed a wife or something similar, right?
Okay.
And later, the police or the government, whoever it was, found out there was an Alexa in the room that where it happened. So they petitioned Amazon, "Hey, do you have the audio files for this time period?" And I'm pretty sure they did, and I'm pretty sure it helped them solve the case. And
that's crazy.
And but I think since then companies have been like, no, we will never do that. We'll never, whatever it is. But but then it becomes an ethical thing. If you're wearing the Vision Pro and a crime happens, you know, or whatever, can they get access to those files?
That instance that you were talking about, Dakota, was in 2019. Guess the state, Caleb.
Florida.
Everything happens in Florida.
So if they're listening to murders, are they also listening to when you tell your wife that we need more diapers? You know? That's the question.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Super interesting. While we're talking about crime, one of the things that I think kind of goes back.
You've got a confession, Caleb? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, wait, where is this going?
This is my moment.
This is a safe space, Caleb.
This doesn't get broadcast to everyone, that's for sure.
While we're talking about crime, so going back to the wedding structure that you talked about, like, how cool would it be if, you know, you have like a brick and mortar store and you set up cameras, you know, in different areas, and like, you know, someone comes in and robs your store or whatever, and like the police could go through like and get more of like a like actual VR experience of like walking through the crime as it happened and stuff like that. That'd be pretty crazy.
Dude, there's so many cool use cases like that. What if somebody hiked the Grand Canyon wearing one of these things? And now I can like experience that if I live in India and never will get to go to the Grand Canyon. You know what I mean?
Do you feel the breeze coming off the canyon? You know,
you just gotta stick a
feel the sun.
Not yet, but dude, eventually they're gonna make like theme parks for this. I mean, Caleb,
they've got like 4D rides and stuff.
Like there's a ride at Disney, Matthew, that that's the Avatar ride, okay? And I went to it like in 2017, maybe 2018. And you ride the back of the thing that flies in Avatar, you know, and as you're doing, like the thing is breathing underneath of you and the screen is like 3D and you're moving around you went through a waterfall and it misted your face and, oh, you can smell the flowers through the field, right? Like, and by the end of it, I got off that thing and I told my wife at the time, I go, she's still my wife. When I said at the time, it sounds like I have a new wife. That's she's still my wife. But at that time, I told my wife, no, that still sounds weird. Hold on.
No, you're saying it fine. I think you're just overthinking it.
My wife at the time told me.
My wife at the time. That's the wrong way to say it.
Yeah, okay. It sounded weird, but I said it first. Anyways, I told her, I said, that was life-changing. Like that that ride, I feel like changed the way I see things. And that's the precipice. I think that we're like, no, you're not going to smell the Grand Canyon. You're not going to get the breeze. You're not going to get like the experience of doing it with someone else or whatever, but it's going to be 80% of the way there, maybe 70% of the way there. And eventually we're going to have the tech to replicate the other 20-30%. Whether it's like you sit in your immersion chair that has,
like, because part of what made that experience so great for you was that you had the breathing thing underneath you. Yeah. You had the fan hit you when you wanted, right? And it's like, I'm curious if like once the Vision Pro comes out, if there will be companies that sell like aftermarket attachments to like enhance your experience, you know? like, you know, I don't know. It could be
like really, the 4D really... movie theater chairs, right?
Like exactly that kind of thing. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. if the Vision Pro is $3,500, I'm curious what the 4D chair is going to cost.
Like the rich people will have this first, and it's going to be a room in their house. It's going to be like the VR room.
The VR room.
And, mm-hmm. you know, go in there, and it's just blacked out with like, you know, all that. And I'm not saying it's a good thing, but again, I think it comes back around to like, how do we want to experience life, right? And and as advertisers, what's I think really relevant here is what percentage of the population even cares about this, right? Mm-hmm. Who's even going to have this? Because there's going to be plenty of marketing that does not need to happen on these things because only 0.01% of the population even has a virtual reality headset or whatever it is, right? And so we're really talking more long term here, but if it's professionals first, let's use that as an example. If Apple goes professionals first, and instead of our daily stand-up happening on Zoom, it now happens in our conference room that's virtual, right? Because we're all remote, and where we just put these on, and now it's like, oh, hey, there's Matthew, there's Caleb, there's the rest of the team, right? We're looking at them, we're talking, we're around the conference table. There's the whiteboard, right? We have all the goals. That, all of a sudden, becomes a really good place to market B2B stuff. Right.
Yeah.
It's like there's the whiteboard. Yeah. Oh, and then on the wall in our virtual conference room, which we don't have to pay rent for because of ads, right? There's you know, there's an ad right there for a software as a service that would be relevant for our company.
Yeah. Like Monday.com or something like that. Yeah.
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 So I think that's first, but we'll see.
Yeah,
and Liam still wouldn't be able to find the mute button, but that's fine.
Yeah. And you're gonna see our employee, like, you know, people's mouths moving. And not hear them, and they're like, "You're muted."
That's like the running joke at our company. It's like there's always someone who tries to talk, and they can't find the mute button.
It's been a good tangent on the metaverse today. Any other hot takes you have, Matthew, Caleb?
Well, I think that is like, I know this is like the first iteration, but this is definitely the future. I'm just being cynical because I've watched too many movies and like. Minority Reports terrifies me, but it's the future. Like this is real, and I think that, you know, the earlier that people jump in and like invest long term, they're going to be the ones that like really benefit. You know, the people that really started out on like Facebook ads and then, you know, just grew an entire advertising empire from there. It's going to be the same kind of thing with this, marketing wise.
The only other thing that we didn't talk about that I think I would personally see a big use for this out of is being on airplanes. So like, I hate flying. Like I freaking hate flying, and I have to fly a lot. And being on, like, in a chair for 5 hours and not being able to get up a ton just sucks. But I think that if you had one of these puppies, if you were just watching, you know, and just you felt like you weren't on the plane, right? And
noise canceling, like that full screen. Me,
exactly. Yeah. Like you put yourself in a place where you don't want to be there anyways, but you have the Apple Vision Pro. To me, I'm like, that's a good use on an airplane, at least. I would definitely use it there for sure.
Yeah, no. Me, I want to go on a beach vacation, and I want to finally get down to the beach and get and lay back and get into relaxation mode, and then throw these puppies on, throw a Vision Pro on, and read my book on the beach.
Dude, if I saw someone wearing this on the beach, I would just be so sad. It's like, it's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen.
So I have a bit of a structured segment idea, which I'm calling Into the Metaverse. There's a little Spider-Man call out, seeing as I know it's now Dakota's favorite movie of all time.
It is.
Across the metaverse, I've got a couple products and a couple offer kind of things which I thought would be fun for you guys to like take turns like thinking through what either an AR or a VR ad for these products and companies could look like. So Dakota, let's start off with you. How would you envision marketers using AR and VR to advertise for movie trailers?
It's gonna probably have to do with how the movie is actually seen. So like if the way we watch movies changes, right? Like in AR/VR, then obviously the trailer has to be in that same format. And so like I would just think, okay, so here's kind of what I think. You know, Oppenheimer, that's coming out soon. Matthew, we were talking about this last weekend. It was shot like in IMAX film, right? Basically. So, so like the way that they shot the movie is specifically for a certain way of consuming the movie, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you want to see Oppenheimer in the best possible way, you got to go to the IMAX because that's what it was shot for. Are you going to enjoy it on other platforms? Yeah, sure. It's going to be a good movie still. But like if you want to enjoy it in the way that you are supposed to based on the producer, the director, their vision for it, you need to go to IMAX. I think it's the same thing for VR. Like eventually it's going to be the same thing for VR, which is like they need to shoot it in a way that actually makes the preferred medium of consuming it VR, right? And so they did this for a while with like 3D movies and like, you know, they would have like 3D movies in the movie theater with like the glasses and stuff. And it was like, they had to do some special like camera stuff to shoot it that way. And some of them were really good. Like I remember seeing Avatar, the first Avatar in IMAX 3D. And I was like, whoa, like of that like actually was feeling like it was coming at me, you know? So for VR, I feel like it's similar. And I think only big box office movies are going to take advantage of this at first, but like they should have a VR version, right? That's like specifically for the headset. And actually I was talking about, I have the Meta Quest, right? What's really cool is there's a theater mode in it and it's not great because the computing power of it, like the screen isn't like the best thing in the world, but you can actually watch these specifically made for VR videos on it, which instead of it being like a box that's like pretty big in front of you, like a TV would be, instead it's like fully immersive 180. So now I can turn and while the thing is playing, I can see stuff that's going on over there. I can see stuff that's going on over there because it was shot in a way that's supposed to be meant for that.
Yeah.
I think movies are going to be the same thing where it's like there's a version for VR where now, you know, like you're watching the movie, but you're also in the movie sort of, right? Like it's immersive. And so for movie trailers, I feel like those movies that are already made for VR, those are going to be like the ones that we're talking about here. And obviously you're just going to put those trailers into like the movie experience, just like when you go to a theater, you know, starts off at the beginning. Before the movie, you get to see all the trailers for the other ones that they made specifically for VR. But I don't know, that's kind of what I think. And for me, it's like, if we get to a place where the file format changes, like if you go to YouTube right now, you can actually find some of these VR videos on YouTube. They're just uploaded in a different format so that any VR headset can use them, which is kind of cool. And so the trailers, I think, would just be there. But that's my thought on it.
That's cool. Yeah, I like that. Caleb, your turn. This is very special for you. We see a lot of like travel agency and like that kind of stuff on TV. Pitch an ad idea for Visit Florida.
Oh my gosh, for Visit Florida.
You can actually be eaten by a crocodile.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think, so first off, every time I ever see advertisements for Florida, it's almost always beach related. They always like advertise our beaches. So likely what I would assume is that, Dakota, you just talked a little bit about people sitting on the beach with the Apple Vision Pro. I'm thinking about people who are sitting in a like in a place, a boring place, and wishing that they were at the beach. And so I would say like it could be really neat to have someone like go to a virtual like beach or like a virtual beach experience. Maybe someone has shot one of those VR videos you're talking about at a Florida beach or something, and they go search YouTube. They're like, I want to go check out what it looks like to go to Clearwater Beach. And as they're watching the video, there's like a billboard for like, hey, you know, 20% off tickets to like on American, you know. And so that's what I probably see as it being is like just you're using the search data. What are people wanting to experience? And then you kind of just throw that up in there.
And also like the if it's not a paid ad, just social media marketing, like if you're like the tourism of Florida, you know, agency, whatever it is, you just make a YouTube channel of all VR / AR like immersive videos of the places that you think people want to see.
Yeah, that's
huge. And now when they YouTube it and they're wearing the headset, you have fully immersive, like that's really cool video. Like, because okay, so for example, when I moved here to Tennessee, I found a YouTube channel of this guy who would just drive through neighborhoods, right? In the area that I was looking at, because I didn't live there. I was across the country. I didn't know like, okay, what did the street look like here where I'm renting this thing? Like if I had a VR headset, a video of that where I could actually like walk or, you know, move around the neighborhood and look around, like that would have sold
me. So basically, are you saying that you think Google Earth might start having the vans drive around with like VR cameras on top of the cars?
I mean, or just make a really good app for Google Earth that you can like walk around in, basically. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's huge.
I like that.
And yeah, use that as marketing.
That's actually what that would be so cool, honestly. Because in that case, you could go to any street in the world and just drop yourself, you know, and like walk.
You could around. Never have to travel again. You could stay in your living room and get all fat and sassy.
Think about that for a second, though. Now, granted, Google Earth isn't like real-time video. I know, Matthew, we totally just got derailed here. I'm sorry. Talking about something else. But like, imagine this for a second. Like, Google Earth, it's like still images, right? But imagine if you could drop yourself there, and when you dropped yourself, people were walking on the street, and like, it was like actually when the car drove by or whatever, and there's like a 5-minute clip. Because like, think, if you could do that, you could literally go to like Paris, you could go to like Dubai and just like travel the world and just drop yourself in different, like, that's actually kind of cool to think about, you know? Mm-hmm.
For trip planning specifically, I think it'd be really cool. Because it's like, okay, now how far is the airport from the Airbnb? Okay, what's the route look like? Okay, is this walking distance? Well, I feel safe if I walk from here to here, you know, like that kind of thing. It's like, what does that actually look like, boots on the ground where I'm going? So that you're prepared a little bit for the trip. I feel like that would be a big selling point too. But
yeah.
Anyways, I like your idea of the billboard. I feel like just anything that like uses the visual medium to display the thing that you want people to love about your product or place or whatever. Like, yep. It's really just going to come down to adaptation. Like, are you able to like create visually appealing, stunning images for this specific format for your product, you know?
That's
cool. So I've got one more each left for both of you. And obviously at AdClass, we deal a lot with more direct response marketing. So I want to think about like how that might change our perspective in that industry as well. So Dakota, I want you to give me a AR or VR ad idea for a real estate offer.
Oh, snap.
It's so hard to picture like how people are consuming content in AR and VR. And because you have to have the headset on to get served the ad. So I'm just going to try to think about that a little bit. But so let's just say maybe like browsing YouTube is probably the biggest, like no matter what, people are going to like watch YouTube videos or like video content, right, on a device. So that's kind of how I'm going to picture this. I think probably, like, back to our example of what we just talked about, if we knew the search data, if we knew what people were searching for, and I would use keyword targeting to basically be like, okay, this person that's wearing this headset is interested at least in like making money online or getting into real estate, whatever it is, whether the video they're watching right there is relevant to that or not. What I would probably do is I would record an ad specifically for this visual format. And honestly, probably the best use case would be like standing outside of a property that we just flipped or inside of a property that we just flipped, and the before and after would be sick, right? Like, like, hey, check out this property. Look around. This is one that we just bought 3 months ago.
Yeah, that'd be huge.
You know, here in Las Vegas. Look how crappy this is. Look, there's rats running around the floor. You know what I mean? Whatever. Yeah.
And then like snap the fingers.
Flash forward, to the flipped property. We made $120,000 on this flip. You know what I mean? Whatever it is. Now all of a sudden you've actually experienced it. How much more are you likely to build trust with the person that showed you this ad, right? Like, and you can't deny that. You just literally were inside of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I think that would be great. The other big thing I think for info, right? So Matthew, that's kind of the niche that we're talking about here. And even in real estate, this would work. I think going back to kind of what we talked about before with like physical type products is a lot of times we don't think about those in the info space. However, there's really like interesting ways to do like lead magnets and things that I think you could spin here. And so, for example, like let's say that you have a book that you wrote, like a quick, you know, guidebook or something. You could have an ad pop up where like they could use their fingers to like spin the book around or like, you know, interact with the book in some way and be like, download our free guide for whatever. And it's like there in front of their face, right? It's not just like a picture and it's not just a video of someone going through it. It's like, no, they can like interact with like how the book looks and kind of see the cover and all that, right? Maybe even like open it and like read the first page or something, right? And so, yeah,
I'm getting excited. Yeah, a lot of possibility.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last one, Caleb, is for you. Another big clientele that we work with is the coaching and consulting wing of the industry. Do you see AR and VR having a big impact on that sector?
Yeah, I mean, like, kind of just a little bit of what we were just talking about. I think lead magnets is probably one of the really, really cool ones that'll happen. I think, you know, this is going to kind of go again still with like what Dakota was just talking about, but I think, again, if we look at YouTube, because I think that's probably one of the easiest ways for us to apply like coaching to kind of what will be like first adapters, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so if you're searching on YouTube, like let's say you're searching like meal plan for losing weight or something, right, and you go on YouTube and you're looking for someone to do that, and then you start watching a video, but like that video is like an actual VR experience where like someone's like walking you through their meal plan, or maybe it's a workout routine or whatever it is. And then it has like a CTA at the end of like, hey, by the way, like come check out our program. We help people lose, you know, how, whatever. Right. And so I think in my opinion, that's going to be our first like way of seeing this in the coaching world, is like you watch something in VR, the ad is filmed in that format, and then there's like a, some sort of CTA at the end to kind of take advantage of what that looks like. But I don't know, Dakota, if you're...
I agree. And the best first movers in the space are going to be the ones that like actually make their entire funnel optimized toward it too. So it's like, imagine for like a VSL video or a case study video that like you're immersive inside like, you know, a room.
I mean, your example just now of that fix and flip is a perfect example of that. You could do a whole training, like this is what we did step by step walking through the house. And it's like, totally immersive, right? Like imagine the person coming out of that training and like how bought in they are if they like were in the house with you. You know what I mean? Like that's so true, dude. Oh my gosh, that's, I didn't even think about that.
So it would be a lot of work, but like those are gonna be the offers that I think crush on this. And especially if you're doing something like with your hands, right? Like if you're visually, if you can show, you know, the before and the after, so or good. For workout offers, for like weight loss offers,
it's come
like,
work, you know, out in my gym with me.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So Matthew, yeah, I think like Dakota's point is like genius here, is I think for coaches and consultants, it will be to start to film training and content for your audience that puts them in like wherever it is, like whatever your niche or your expertise is, like bring them into your domain and teach them and show them there, right? So if you coach workouts, bring them into your gym. If you're a real estate coach, bring them into the house. If you're a stock trader, bring them into your office where you have all your charts or whatever, right? Like, but I think that's going to be like honestly one of the biggest ways to kind of like build trust and rapport with people. That'll be really cool, honestly.
No, that is really cool. Yeah. Dang. Well, we peeked into the future today, and
let's go. Yeah, that was really fun. I think there's so many like other use cases for AR, VR. If you guys are watching this on YouTube, put a comment below. We'd love to hear what you guys think the future of advertising is as it pertains to AR and VR. And yeah, this has been Ad Class, Ad Talk by Ad Class, actually. Ooh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Ad Talk, the only place where you're going to hear marketers talk about what's the future of advertising? What's working right now? What's not working, right? And once again, we have a free Facebook group. I always want to tell you guys about this, because if you're trying to get into marketing, if you're listening to this and you're like, wow, it sounds really interesting what these guys are doing. We basically just play around on the internet all day. I mean, it's a pretty fun industry to be in. So if you're interested to figure out how to get into marketing, specifically paid advertising, check out our free Facebook group. We'll link it here in the description. It's facebook.com/group/freeAdClass. And we'd love to speak with you there. So that's it. We're signing off. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Catch you on the next one, guys. Peace.